Welcome to another edition of El Paso Primetime. I'm Dennis Wu, sitting in for the rest of the band, working on things for the spring. Joining us now, Laura Cruz Acosta, the Director of Communication from Sun Metro. Very nice to have you back. We get to catch up on the latest news now from Sun Metro, because I know you guys have just been through an enormous amount of changes over the past few.
Yes, we're always busy. We're always moving. We're always shaking things up and making sure people are paying attention. No, just
it's always good. First off, I need to congratulate you for the renovations over the Eastside Terminal. That thing is beautiful.
Yes, and we're not quite done. We're waiting on getting a concessionaire. So we'll have food out there for folks who are transferring, or maybe that's their last stop and they're really, really hungry. Or maybe it's their first trip out there and they haven't gotten their breakfast or something along those lines. So we're almost complete.
One of the things, as we're talking about this now, is that gas prices are back up on the rise.
Mm-hmm.
So now is a good time to really start to consider conserving gas by parking at one of the terminals.
Yes.
So that you can take the bus in. You can take the Northeast Terminal. You could take the East Terminal.
We have six park and ride facilities throughout the community. We have on the west side off of Remcon. We have the downtown terminal has a parking lot in there, but there's also the Glory Road parking garage that charges at most $10 for the whole day. But if you're parking there for one day, for 1 hour, it's $1 for every hour that you're there, with 10 being the maximum. The Union Plaza Transit Terminal in the downtown area, it's parking garage. And during the week, it's at most $4 that you're going to pay there, unless it's a special event, in which case you might pay $5 at night. It's about $10. But we also have a park and ride facility at the Eastside Terminal, at the Northgate Terminal, at the Mission Valley Transfer Center as well. And we're getting ready here to open up a park and ride space. We haven't built the facility, but it's a park and ride space in the far east side. And that's going to be located on Edgemere. And I want to say the intersection is going to be Tierra Este. It's around that area. We're finalizing all of the project, so we'll have a park and ride there and get an east side connection to the downtown area.
It's amazing how the Far East Side has just exploded in terms of population and necessity to ride a bus.
Oh my gosh, yes. It's tremendous, the amount of growth. And for any city to see this kind of growth in their community, this sprawl is what makes it difficult for us, because sprawl means that we need to get more equipment, more staff. And we're not talking just about drivers. You're also talking about maintenance. And you're also talking about room for if we have more equipment, we need more room. So it's easy to say, oh, we need it over here. Well, we also need equipment and staff and everything that you could possibly think of.
Yeah, exactly. Now, one of the things that we need to talk about, to remind folks about, is one of your new routes, the number 31 that goes into Fort Bliss.
Correct. We started the Route 31. Its service is the what is known as East Bliss, what Fort Bliss holders know as East Bliss. It's going all the way past Purple Heart Highway, the border highway 3375. Far east, there's a new community that's the 5th Brigade that's living out there. And there is so much growth there because of the remnants of BRAC, the BRAC, and the explosion in terms of population on Fort Bliss property. And Fort Bliss was struggling to get these people to move around, because a lot of these soldiers and the families, maybe they don't have the vehicle at all, or they have one vehicle, but they have four or five different people who need a vehicle to get around. So the bus is really needed in that area. And so we extended that one. We actually started it in September of 2011. And this February, we extended it out even further.
Yeah, and it's a real necessary thing, especially if you happen to be working at Bliss as a civilian. or if you're active duty military and you're living off Fort, anywhere near the Cielo Vista area, if you're in that area, if you're out in Far East, really and truly, maybe now is a good time to start sharing the vehicle and park and ride and just go to work and come back with it, because it's a wonderful trip. I took it one day just to see what it was like. And it really just takes you through most of the new part of East Bliss. It's fabulous.
And it touches base with Freedom Crossing. So you can go to Freedom Crossing and you can go out to the Sergeant's Major Academy and into the 5th Brigade area. But it also ends up at the East Side Terminal. So soldiers, families, or even veterans, people who know families on post, they can take the 31 or the 30. We also have the 30 that goes from the Five Points area into Fort Bliss, into West Bliss.
Before we went on air, you shared a statistic with us that blew me away about the percentage of people in El Paso who use a car.
Yes. There's been various studies done on commuting and the use of vehicles, and there was one that was that occurred not too long ago, in I believe it was in 2009 that this study came out, possibly 2010. The Brookings Report Institute did this study of various large cities and how they move throughout their city, and they found out that in El Paso, 78% of the people who are driving POVs, their personal vehicles, are driving in their car alone. They're not carpooling. They're not taking the bus system. They are just in the vehicle by themselves. And they're often going to the same area or the same locations. And it's really disturbing, because as the city continues to grow, you see more and more of these folks who are single person vehicles. And the way that Sun Metro is working to combat it is that we're trying to improve our efficiency. We're looking at our rapid transit system, which is still in the works and getting closer to being finalized in terms of the actual construction timeline. And then also the city, and I wish I was a little bit more familiar about this, but the city recently announced that it has a citywide carpooling program. It's called iCarpool. And I encourage anybody who maybe you don't want to take the bus, but you have a coworker who lives in your nearby neighborhood, and maybe you can carpool together, or just look it up on iCarpool and for El Paso.
I've added his shows on a laptop on the number 22 to the 204.
Excellent.
To work. Yeah, I've done that. So I know what it's like to kind of like maximize your time while you're on the bus.
You can be more efficient.
Absolutely. You know, you just have to budget your time more efficiently. And once you start doing that, suddenly the whole world starts to open up.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
definitely.
Now, the argument can be made. Okay, I do a lot of grocery shopping. How am I going to load everything? And well, you know what? Maybe it's time to take a look at what you're buying and cut back and still use the bus. I do that all the time.
I certainly do that all the time, because I find that if I do bulk purchases or just get a little too – my eyes get a little bit hungrier than my stomach is actually – hungry, I'm actually wasting more money by buying too much food. And so in the end, you buy less, and maybe you make a couple of extra trips. Maybe you make, instead of just one trip every 2 weeks, maybe you make every 2 weeks, so you make only one trip a week. We're getting ready. You mentioned the East Side Terminal. We're actually now looking at renovating the Five Points Terminal. Is going to be next. We're going to be doing that one as well. And then we are going to be working on a transfer center, a new transfer center out in the Northeast. That one kind of was delayed simply because one of the goals for the Northeast portion is that we don't just want it to be another terminal. We want to make that whole development, all 30 acres, are going to be a transit-oriented development where you'll have housing, you'll have stores, you'll have the terminal itself, but you'll also have amenities such as parks and a rec center, things that will allow you to live your life within that small community and get your basic necessities within that small community, and really only have to leave that area if you need things that are more along the lines of maybe furniture, for example, or you need to work. And so the idea is that it'll be transit oriented. You can park your car if you have a car, but take the bus system further into the community. The same thing with the Far East Side. We're looking at a transit-oriented development out there as well in the future. So hopefully that'll get everything going out there.
Now, one of the things that comes up often in conversation is that, well, I'm medically handicapped. I need this. I need that. A bus certainly can't take me here. And I keep telling them, yes, it can. You guys hit every major medical facility in town. You have the number 34, which goes to Sierra and Medical Center, the whole nine yards. You also have the 204 that takes you to University Medical Center.
Correct.
And it goes by Providence. It goes by Las Palmas. It does what it's supposed to do.
Our system, when we look at any routes, what we do primarily is look at where the community is going. Where do our passengers need to go? And those basic necessities include shopping centers, grocery stores, the hospitals, the schools. Those are the major needs of the community, and that's where we're going to be. And if we can't get you there on our fixed route buses, which is a traditional, then perhaps you need to look at the Lyft, the Lyft vehicles, the paratransit vehicles that service those individuals who aren't capable of using the fixed route service.
For those of you just barely tuning in, welcome to El Paso Primetime. And our guest today is Laura Cruz Acosta. She's the communications director to the Sun Metro system here in El Paso. You guys were voted number one in the country in terms of transit in 2011. And since that time, you've really increased the amount of you've increased the amount of bus service to virtually all parts of the county, I guess.
Well, we're only able to service the city.
Right.
But we do have some county routes because of interlocal agreements with the city of Socorro and the city of Solon Park. But really, we try to service. Our planning department does an awesome job in terms of looking at where the needs are throughout the community and servicing that area. And there was another report from the Brookings report that looked at the service that we provide. And we ranked number six in the nation of cities our size in terms of coverage for public transit. 96% of our community is covered. And number six in the nation. Where we need improvements, and something that we're fully aware of, is in terms of the frequency. And we are looking at that now with the support of the rapid transit system. That will help us tremendously in order to improve our frequency, because it'll mean more buses and it'll mean articulated buses, which are the 60-foot buses that will run every 10 minutes during peak, 15 minutes during non-peak. And it'll service the main corridors, which will mean that we can move some of the routes. We can adjust a little bit the routes that exist right now to service further into the neighborhoods or improve the frequency of the existing routes.
People will ask, because they often do, how you gauge ridership on a daily, weekly, and monthly rate. How do you count them?
it's very scientific. No, it's a number of things. We look at our fare box, and our fare box numbers they're electronic. They keep track of what it is that we're gaining in terms of fare, who's paying what, and the numbers that we're seeing. And then we also have electronic counts that will check to see how many people are boarding the bus. It's stepping onto the bus at every step. And then we have our planning department, who does a spectacular job in terms of researching it. They sometimes occasionally do manual counts where they follow a bus. They have staff that follows a bus and counts at every single stop how many people got on and how many people got off, in order to also look at where people are moving, mm-hmm. where people need the service.
It's an intriguing way to look at how you count your readership, your ridership, that is. But one of the things that I think people miss all the time, even if they only take one bus ride a day, is the fact that it's so convenient. And if you know you're going to be taking multiple trips on that day, all you have to do is pay $3.50 for a day pass.
Yes, $3.50 for a day pass and unlimited rides on all of our buses within the city limits. It's so easy, and it's a cost saving, because if you're going to make three stops throughout the community, you need to pick up maybe you need to drop off your kids at the school, and then you get back on, and you need to go to work, and then maybe you need to go somewhere for lunch, and then back from lunch, and then you go back to go pick up your child at the daycare. That's several routes. That's several time points throughout the day. And so it's so much easier to just go ahead and get a $3.50 day pass instead of having to pay the $1.50 every time you get on.
It's incredibly convenient for me, especially on a Saturday, because mm-hmm. I know I'm going to go to a Walmart. I know I'm going downtown. I know I'm coming here to the radio station. I know I got to get back home.
Mm-hmm.
So the $3.50 that you pay the bus driver, well, the fare box, and tell mm-hmm. them that you're getting a day pass,
mm-hmm.
they print it out right there for you. It's yours. It's good until 11:59 that night.
Correct.
It is so cool.
And you can save even more. Getting a weekly pass, if you're you're constantly riding, you can get a weekly pass or a monthly pass and save even more. You can save so much money with either of those passes.
There was a campaign that you were doing starting in January and still continuing to this day, mm-hmm. about the reduced fare and identification. I think it needs a little bit of clarification for a lot of our listeners who are contemplating riding the bus, but may qualify for that.
We do have reduced fares for the average fare. I should clarify, the average fare for one trip is $1.50. Students who are 18 and older can pay $1. It's a reduced fare. And then we also have senior, disabled, and Medicare recipients can pay 30 cents for a trip. There's also children's fare. That's not a reduced fare. It's children's fare. It's from 6 to 18. If you're age 6 to 18, you don't necessarily need a Sun Metro ID, although it's recommended, because if you do look maybe a little bit older than 18, maybe you're really tall, then you're going to need an ID. And we give them for free. These IDs, you need to qualify them for them. If you're a student, 18 and older, you just need to show them some form of proof of enrollment from the school. And then if you're a senior, you just need to show a state ID that says you're 65 or older. Medicare recipients just need to show a Medicare card and maybe some form of a picture ID. And then also disabled, there's a form that you need to fill out, a form that your doctor fills out. It's pretty simple. Our IDs are free of charge. If you lose it, you do have to pay $5, but it's pretty simple. It's, you get on and you can use that every time you pay, you use that ID, and you can get a reduced fare.
Okay. Let's look ahead now for the next 3 or 4 months. What do you have planned that riders or prospective riders would be looking forward to?
Well, we've completed the Eastside Terminal. The next thing that we're going to be looking at is the Five Points Terminal. We're going to be renovating that one as well. And then beyond that is actually going to be, I should say that Dia de los Niños, Dia de los Libros, a shout out to my library partners, is going to be happening this coming month at the end of, I believe it's at the end of March. And so we're going to be offering free rides to kids 16 to 18 all day for the Dia de los Libros, Dia de los Niños, Dia de los Libros.
And that's for kids at
Kids 6 to 18. They can ride the bus for free that day.
How cool. And, of course, the word spread at just about every school all over the city.
Yes. And it's going to be it's a fun event. Every year they have a fabulous things going on for the kids and for literacy, because our community needs to improve its literacy rate.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Let's get back a little bit to the conversation we were having about the lift. Mm-hmm. A lot of our listeners are going to get to that point where they'll be temporarily incapacitated, mm-hmm. and will need some kind of assistance to get from point A to point B. How do they reserve a ride?
It's very simple. They need to qualify, first of all, for the lift. And you can call our 533-3333 for any questions and find out how you can qualify for the lift. And they'll probably transfer you to the lift or send you the form that is required for the lift. You fill out the form. Your doctor fills out his side or her side of the form. And you mail it in to the address that's at the top of the form. They look at it. They qualify you within less than, I think, 2 weeks, really. They're pretty efficient. And they send you the information for the lift, including the details, what is your lift ID number, and how exactly it is that you schedule a lift. There's a phone number that you need to call to schedule the lift. You call. They give you a 30-minute window, and they pick you up within that 30-minute time point. And right now, if you follow along with this, the history behind the lift, in November, we actually privatized the lift, and the company that is charged with running it is MV Transportation. And they're still working on improvements. There's a few glitches in terms of the time point, the on-time performance that we're working on improving. They're slowly but surely you're starting to see improvements, and eventually, we expect them to be a fabulous service for anybody who cannot use our fixed route service.
And finally, because we are sadly running out of time, the website where they can catch up to the latest news that you have?
Yes, www.sunmetro.net. It is an awesome website. We recently won an award for the website from the local Advertising Federation of El Paso. We're very proud of it, and we're working still on more improvements to that website. And eventually, we're going to have a mobile website, our hopes and dreams.
And you know, the one thing that I need to pass along to our listeners is when you choose a route on your website, mm-hmm. because it's PDF, I've been able to download those onto my iPhone.
Yes, and you can save them. So you can, on the go, you don't need to keep downloading it, or maybe don't need to call 533-3333. You can just save it on your phone, and you can have it at access at any point in time.
It's a wonderful improvement. I love having that. It's information at my fingertips.
Exactly.
And our listeners are going to love that.
That's great.
Anything else?
No, we're very excited. If you don't want to ride every day, I always tell people, if you don't want to ride every day, at least ride once a week. Consider it once a week.
Yeah.
It'll save you a little bit of cash and some stress, because it is a bit stressful to be behind the wheel.
Yeah. And, you know, once you get used to the idea of riding the bus, you're going to be surprised as to how much your productivity actually goes up, because you can multitask on the bus without having to worry about the next guy being a driver slamming into you.
Yes, definitely. That's so true.
Laura, thank you so much for coming in and enlightening us. We'd love to have you back. So whenever there's more improvements, and there always are.
There's always something going on.
We certainly would love to have you back.
Thanks, Dennis.
You're quite welcome. Laura Cruz Acosta has been our guest on El Paso Primetime. And at the time of this recording, we neglected to talk about one issue that is actually impacting quite a number of bus routes here and there around the city, as well as motorists trying to get in and out of some parts of downtown El Paso. And that happens to be the Santa Fe Reconstruction Project that stretches from Interstate 10 south till you get to San Antonio Street. So if you're a bus rider or you want to ride the bus into downtown El Paso, you may want to check with sunmetro.net to check out your bus schedule for your part of town and see whether or not your route is impacted by a detour. Movies for Grownups is next. Stay close.
Joel Gray and 40 Years of Cabaret. I'm Bill Newcott, and this is AARP's Movies for Grownups.
I am your host, and sage willkommen, bienvenue. Welcome in cabaret, oh cabaret, to cabaret.
The dark, dangerous world of cabaret changed movie musicals forever. And 40 years ago this month, Joel Grey won an Oscar for his role as the film's Master of Ceremonies. Now, Cabaret is arriving on Blu-ray disc, and Grey chatted about his most famous role with our own Meg Gurov.
When you were making this film, did you anticipate that it was going to be one for the ages?
No, but I don't anticipate a lot.
The MC at the Kit Kat Club, he doesn't really have any lines in the narrative.
I know, isn't that amazing?
It really is. And yet he has a full character.
I know.
How did you do that?
I don't know, with mirrors. I don't know, really know. You know, we always talked about him as a real character. He was real. He was bad and real.
Bad.
Bad.
I've heard you call him evil.
Well, yeah, he's evil. Corrupt. Disgusting. Seductive. Annoying.
Is he your favorite role?
One of my favorites, certainly.
Now, you're about to turn 81 years old.
I am. It's not fair.
They come around fast, don't they?
Woo! But I feel younger all the time.
How does that work?
I don't know. I think it's my brain or my curiosity. I just wish it would connect with my body a little more. But I work out and I'm healthy and I'm grateful and I'm ridiculous. My mom lived till she was 93, and I have an aunt who is 101 and smart as a whip. And I'm lucky.
Yeah.
Lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Lucky.
Cabaret, starring Joel Grey and Liza Minnelli, is on Blu-ray disc now. I'm Bill Newcott.
Archives of this and other episodes of El Paso Primetime are on our website under the archives section of ktep.org. And a big thank you to Norma Martinez for making sure that the archives not only are there on time, but that they work as you click on them, whether you're using Firefox, Internet Explorer, Google Chrome, or whatever you've got as a Macintosh user. El Paso Primetime is a production of KTEP, all rights reserved by the University of Texas at El Paso and by KTEP. We certainly hope you have a wonderful weekend and stick around. Louis Signs and Perspectives is up next. For the rest of the crew of El Paso Primetime, I'm Dennis Rue. Thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you next Saturday afternoon at 1 for another edition of El Paso Primetime.